Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't really care, you know. I'm not one of those guys that cares about that, but you know, I know that all of us are doing our jobs, all of us are playing well, that we don't have to worry about that type of thing, man. We're all going to make plays, we're all going to be happy for each other, and that's what makes a team great, is the unselfishness.
That's Mark Andrews. He's not worried about getting the ball. He's not worried about so many miles to feed. You know who doesn't worry about getting the ball? People who know they can get the ball. Last year, Mark Andrews had 113 targets in 15 games. The year before last, he had 153 targets in 17 games. His least amount of targets was his rookie year, 50. He hit 98 and 88. So Andrews is going to get his targets. Andrews doesn't need to worry about those things because he makes the offense go. However, Jeremy, I think Mark Andrews, his best year was 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. I think he'll challenge that again this year.
I think so, too. But, you know, it all depends on the yardage will be there. It's a matter of who's getting those touchdown looks. And you'd have to think he's going to be one of the favorites.
Yeah.
And then if we're singled up, if you're looking at a situation where you're going to be singled up more times than not, isn't he going to win most of those battles?
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a case for a lot of things talking about who's the best at this or that. When we look at tight ends, it's kind of Travis Kelce, and then there's another group right behind him, depending on what you like. Like, mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts is on his way, guys, because trust me, that kid's going to be in that upper echelon sooner than later.
This kid from Florida?
Yeah, when they finally get a quarterback.
Yeah, I was about to say, he needs a quarterback.
He's going on year three now, right?
And we haven't had a quarterback yet.
Right, Matt Ryan did not look like him. Well, he was...
Ryan in and out that year?
Yeah, a little bit, because they were going to Mariota and whatnot. But that being said, like, Mark Andrews, to me, is the second best tight end in football. George Kittle's the best blocking tight end. He adds a little bit as well offensive. So love him, but... You have one of the best players at his position, then yes, he should be the guy getting the bulk of the targets. Like, Travis Kelce should be the number one target in Kansas City, even with other talent around him. That's even, in my opinion, even with Tyreek Hill there. I think he should have been the number one target because he is a mismatch every single time.
I agree. There's no one more of a mismatch than him.
Yeah, and I don't know why people resist this so much where they feel like, you know, relying on the tight end as your primary. It was like, well, yeah, what about the wide? Things have changed in this game dramatically. And I think you're right. I think the tight ends, you know, cornerbacks and wide receivers are very often really well matched.
I love what Pat Mahomes said. Somebody said, why is Travis Kelce always open? He goes, he never runs the right route. So that's why. The other teams are studying what's going on. He's running the wrong route on the play, and I'm just throwing the ball. Because he runs a lot of option routes. They give him a lot of leeway there because of his ability to read the player in front of him and which way he's going to break and how the plays are going. It's just special. And then when you have a player like Mahomes, which the Ravens have a similar that can extend plays, it's just going to make up for – it's going to give you opportunities of bigger plays.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Hubie in Baltimore wants to talk about Mr. Lamar. What's up, Hubie?
God is still up looking down.
There you go.
So I really respect Cordell's assessment of Lamar and the Ravens. Cordell is exactly right when he said Lamar can make every throw. The question is that between the hash mark and the sideline, people want to see him to be more consistent 25 to 35 yards down the field. No one makes Lamar, but they're looking for more consistency at that point. If Lamar masters that, he'd be super fantastic.
Hey, thanks a lot, Hubie. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, and I like what Hubie's saying there, too, because there's like now you have weapons, okay? So you've got the personnel, maybe not as good as some other teams, but I think you really have to like what you have. We don't know what we have in Zay Flowers yet. And then now you get Rashad Bateman, hopefully for a full season. There's some serious talent on this team. And now you bring in a new offensive coordinator and you have a guy that's going to devise some routes that are going to, and it's like a lot of times in the NFL, sometimes it's combination routes. Sometimes two receivers are working to get one open, you know, like you're setting something up, especially against zones where you're going to flood areas. You're going to, you know, you're trying to, if you got a guy taking the top off and somebody's chasing him down, fill in someone underneath on these, you know, some of the routes that they're running, the combination routes that go on. What about the, we've said it for years, the Patriots run these pick plays. Like, they're legal within a yard. Sometimes they're not within that yard, but they're legal, and it's just an easy way to get a guy open. It's pitch
and we
catch.
Never run those. We never ran those. I mean, not just with Roman. I don't remember ever running a pick play for the Ravens.
How about screen passes?
Nah, that's just not a thing in Baltimore. I think it's the air.
And I get it. Look, you got to have the right personnel on the offensive line, but come on.
No, you don't.
No, you for pulling and for different things, different types. You do, but I'm saying you can still set up screen passes.
How many NFL offensive linemen can't block for a screen? NFL offensive lineman. Come on. I bet the percentage is really, really low.
Yeah.
An NFL offensive lineman now, who can't execute. These guys are way too athletic now.
Say, even your center here can pull.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm not going with that, Jeremy. I'm not going with that. You know, 20 years ago, when you had these big ballers, you know, maybe you could say that, but these guys are way too athletic. Now, look at the combine.
Not when you have guards pulling. I understand guys are more athletic now, but you got to give them. They have to show you that they can do it. They still have to get to those blocks.
Remember the time they showed that they couldn't do it in Baltimore?
They haven't done it here.
Exactly.
But the point is, you're talking about how athletic they are on this side. You don't think they're as athletic or more athletic on the other side? Yes, they still have to get there.
Whole part of the screen is to lure them in. So you're using the athleticism against them. You want the athletic.
The guys up front, but you still have other guys that you have to go down and block, the linebackers and so on.
So those same teams that you're giving credit for the athleticism defensively, you're right about that. Why do other teams run screens against them?
Kansas them? City runs more screens than anybody else.
And they're running against anybody. I don't care how athletic you are.
No, they don't. But they have the right personnel for it, too. And it's part of their offense. Like
We do, too, though. I think they just should have done it because you got athletic offensive linemen. And you got the best fullback in the league as far as blockers go.
I think it's scheme, Jeremy. I don't think it has anything to do with personnel. I think it's all scheme, man. You're right about what you're saying. I'm not arguing what you're saying. But I know who we have in uniform. And there's no way you would tell me those guys can't execute screens. We've seen them do too many other things. I think it's all scheme. Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. Good. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. Love the conversation as usual. I just wanted to share a thought or two with y'all and see what we come up with.
All right.
So I love the Todd Monken hire and what y'all are talking about now, because do you think under Greg Roman we let the defense kind of predict what we were doing a little bit by not being able to allow Lamar to audible? You know what I mean? Like in basketball, if you stand left to right, the guy's got to dribble left. You know what I mean? Like, we almost let them guide us too much. Like, our offense just wasn't being offense.
Well, it was.
I agree, Gavin. It was offensive. That's what it was. Well, the offense.
And the other part of that, too, is if you're constantly running the same things over and over again, teams can pick up your tendencies, and you're right. So would they come in and set in a certain defense and not come out of it? How about, like, to me, the truest show of it was you run cover zero on your defensive side of the ball, right, when Wink was here?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, teams started running cover zero against you, and you're like, hey, what are we? How do we beat this? Like, he looked like the guy that had football for dummies going through. It's like, how do you beat cover zero? And they never did.
To me, the offense is the side of the ball that attacks. It is. The defense is the side of the ball that reacts. It seemed like we had a reactive offense. You know what I mean? We weren't proactive. And I just want to see an offense that puts the defense on its heels for 60 minutes a game.
But what if they were pro-reactive?
Yeah, let's do that. Chris Sale is in the news. That's what's trending up next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What's trending in social media at 8:16? Man, I'm telling you what. Chris Sale was being destroyed yesterday by Red Sox fans, by baseball fans. He left the game in the fourth inning with left shoulder soreness. Here's one tweet by Steve Silver. Security cameras inside Fenway Park captured Red Sox Iron Man Chris Sale as he leaves the trainer's room. And heads to the locker room after suffering only his eighth injury since signing a $145 million contract extension in 2019. And it gets worse than that. It goes on and on. Chris Sale, and I agree. I can see, I'm not doubting whether he's hurt or not. He might be really hurt. But even if he is, I understand the frustration by Red Sox fans.
Well, yeah, look, you made
the move. And I love it, too. I love it.
You made the move. I think you got what you wanted out of him. But when you paid him, he's obviously falling apart. And if you listen to anybody in baseball, they would have told you over the years that eventually he was going to break down from his awkward throwing motion. And, you know, that's kind of what we've seen. It hasn't been all just, you know, Tommy John, labrum surgery or anything like that. But he's had his issues. And even this year, though, like, he's got a 4.58 ERA, which isn't great, but I think the numbers are going to start going up. I think we're going to start to see this league average be a little bit higher than what you expect. And we're just going to have to get used to it. We're going to see higher scoring games.
Yeah. President Biden's fall captures the internet's attention. President Joe Biden appeared at a U.S. Air Force graduation yesterday. Just as he was about to leave the stage after handing diplomas to new graduates, he tripped and fell over a misplaced sandbag. Two Secret Servicemen helped the president up after the tumble, but the fall was heard around the world. And then this article goes on and to criticize him for his age and the fact that he's fallen several times on, you know, coming down, boarding a plane, things of that nature. Do you think his age has anything to do with these mishaps?
100%, man. I mean, look, it's not even to criticize, not criticize the man personally. It just is what it is. I mean, he's 80 years old and it shows. He forgets where he is and when he's speaking. He says things that are completely incorrect, and they have to cover for him all the time. He's been falling down. Hey, look, I've been at many events when presidents come to speak or visit or whatever, and several different ones. Secret Service does an amazing job of clearing everything possible. I can't imagine there was
left a sandbag
in front of the president of the United States. Like, okay, maybe they did. I don't know if I'm buying it, but I do think age has something to do with it. You know, if I was still with the NYPD, I would have been forced to retire. There's mandatory retirement age for certain jobs for a lot of reasons, for physical attributes or mental acuity. And I think his mental acuity is gone. And I think Trump's going to be safe. Trump, if he gets elected, he's going to be 80 by the time he serves. So, I mean.
Wrong. We need a younger president, basically, what you're saying.
Younger than 80. I mean, right. I'm not saying he got to be 43 like Kennedy, but, well, hold on.
Al Pacino's 82, and he's. Hold on, is there more to that story, though?
he just broke. The baby came out today, actually.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Let's continue. Breaking
out of order.
The Bible has been removed.
Court's out of order.
Sorry. The Bible has been removed from all elementary and middle school libraries throughout the Davis School District in Utah after a parent utilized a new law that permits the removal of, quote, pornographic books
what?
From school library. The removal of the Bible was requested due to its being, quote again, one of the most sex-ridden books around.
You want to chime in first? Or you want me to?
I can't anymore.
I mean, there are stories in there. I think the removal of books and all this stuff we're doing is so stupid. It's just dumb. But like, I'll be the first one to say that I don't think religion belongs in school. I don't think it belongs unless you go to a school for that, because you don't know what religion people are, if they are a religion for that matter. But this is stupid. I'm sorry, but I think this is a little bit of you're doing that, so we're doing this. It's more of this stupid crap we get from the people in charge here of you play games, I play games.
Again, what other books are they going to remove now? Were there other religious books that they left in there? Were there copies of the Quran? Were there copies of... I mean, you know, you think about all the other religions. I feel like Christianity is just fair game right now.
It is. Christianity is fair game.
I mean, just to me... I don't know. I'd like to know who the person was who said that. You know, did they remove the Book of Mormon?
That's a funny play.
Well, it's a hilarious play. And it's, I mean, you're talking about, I'm just curious. You said it was Utah, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is a religion that had, you know, they practiced polygamy. I mean, come on, man.
So what do you say?
The key is what's in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's in their version of the Bible. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do. And today, a couple of national days, International Volkswagen Bus Day. You ever been in a Volkswagen bus?
I think so, but like...
I've been in a Volkswagen, but I don't think a bus.
Yeah, the one that I went in, it was either, what was it? Grass, gas, or ass. Nobody rides for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now...
I was out of money.
This, I don't really... I wouldn't even mention this day, but it may have some personal value to you. Maybe your family celebrates this day. Today is National Bubba Day.
Oh, I got a Bubba that I work with. Yeah. I have a Bubba that...
You're building a life with what?
No, I have a Bubba that married... He's the one... Well...
He married who?
First cousin. I don't think they're married.
I knew have some personal...
Are they married? They have a kid together.
They do?
Yeah.
Well...
We keep them bloodlines. Toit!
I see.
Toit!
I see. And of course, we know it... Because our lady Ann Peters helps us celebrate it today. Today is National Donut Day. Did you have a donut, Ed?
Not yet.
No, Ed saw me eating mine. He's like, oh.
So, Jeremy, you had one.
Yeah.
Joe, did you have a donut?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
You have a favorite? Well, you don't really eat donuts anymore. Did you have a favorite kind when you were eating them?
Yeah, honey dip. You guys call glaze.
Sour cream.
The hell is a sour cream?
Sour cream donuts are good.
They're awesome.
They're good.
Have one right here, just in case. It's just sitting here in this little house.
Yeah, you're trying to talk yourself into eating that donut, aren't you? You shouldn't, and you're trying to justify eating that donut.
I'm giving the Italian food a little more time to get here, because I'd rather have that than a donut. Yeah,
you know you shouldn't.
You're going to eat that damn thing.
You're damn right I am.
And you're also, damn right I am.
Speaking of Italian food, Italian Festival 2023 today, 5:30 to 11 p.m., what is this, Joe?
Hold on. It says the streets up there in the corner.
In Highlandtown?
It's in Little Italy.
Little Italy. There you go. The school is St. Anthony's Mass. That's where it is. That's what I was looking for.
It was Feast of St. Anthony's coming up.
Yeah, that's
what that's what that's for. It's all weekend long. So you got tonight and then Saturday and Sunday.
Tomorrow and Sunday is 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
This is one of my favorite saints because if you guys didn't grow up Italians always... pray to saints for different things. St. Anthony is the find of lost things. So people go, St. Anthony, please help me find my keys. Please help me find my keys. What he helps you find is what you've lost in your soul and things in life. Like, I don't think his keys are on the forefront of his mind.
So what should I ask St. Anthony for?
Speaking of Little Italy, Joe what? Benny. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Guys, listen, I hate to go off topic. I kind of ties into Little Italy, but my little meatball joint, little pizza joint in Little Italy, actually, We are in, this is the countdown. This is the second to last day. I'm closing up shop tomorrow.
Is really?
Last day. Yeah, yeah. So don't talk about it too much because I'll probably tear up like a little wuss on the air. But what I wanted to call for, guys, I've been doing this gig for a while, and every morning I'm here. I get in at like 5 o'clock, and I make the dough. I make the balls. I make the sauce. I do it all, and I do it all with you guys in the background.
Oh, man.
And so that's it, man. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start crying pretty soon. But I just want to thank you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot. We had to dump him.
He didn't say it.
He didn't say it.
He didn't say it. No, he didn't. He stopped himself. He did not.
Let me tell you, Joe. Sorry about that mistake here. But he's gonna be sorely missed. If you haven't been to Joe Benny's, and sadly you're not gonna be able to go beyond tomorrow, the guy gets in at 4 or 5 in the morning, makes everything from scratch. The best, his simple menu with some of the best Italian food you're ever going to have. And it makes me so sad because he's going to be so sorely missed here.
I think that's, and you know, I know different reasons for different people, but the pandemic, the one thing it ruined, there were a lot of people that were starting
businesses like that.
Small businesses, places that you love to go to, that you love to eat. Like I remember if I was a kid and you told me eventually that Blockbuster, Toys R Us, and all these places were going to start shutting down, I'm like, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. And now you're seeing more and more of things like that. And those are on massive levels. But these, I don't even want to call it mom and pop shops, guys that started their own business, especially in the restaurant industry, I just hate seeing it because there was a lot of like good places to go that you love going.
Well, this is one. If you haven't been there, he says meatballs and mozzarella and freshly made bread. It's just so, it's such an outstanding
place. You mean the mozzarella?
Oh, yeah. 2 straight years, college basketball's player of the year returns. Is this the effect of the NIL? We'll talk about that at 8:45. But on the other side, O's weekend in San Francisco up next on The Fan. 8:34 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Baltimore Orioles on the road until next Thursday. They head off yesterday. They have off Monday to go to San Fran for the weekend. And then in the middle of the week, they travel to Milwaukee, and they need to win some games. Ed Norris.
They do. But I say this with, you know, really want to temper it. Yeah, they do. It'd be nice to see them win some games. It turns around, not lose another series. But they didn't get swept in these series. They still had a good May. And I think that, you know, people need to keep this in perspective. Like, you know, they become prisoners like, you know, yesterday afternoon. Like, this is a good baseball team. Okay. They got lit up, you know, by a bad team, doesn't hit home runs, but somehow found their power against the Orioles, you know, pitching staff. They're going to be fine. And I think they're going to recover. And I think they're going to do well on this trip.
Well, all of those things you say is why they need to turn it around if they are a good baseball team. A good baseball team doesn't continue to play that way. I'm not saying that they can't continue another series.
The Yankees began the season pretty poorly.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
A good baseball team at some point has got to turn it around, or else they're not a good baseball team.
Right, but it's not at that point yet. I think that it's been, you know, a week. Like, the Yankees were bad for a while. They looked like they were, you know, really going to be disappointing this year.
I think it sucks to go on a West Coast trip at this point in time.
Yes.
Because, you know, they've historically had their struggles going out west, and then now you look at it, you're facing a Giants team, and in game one, you get their best pitcher, and as I've stated numerous times, like, I look at this Giants team, and they're going to have, I'd prefer the Orioles against right-handed pitching. That being said, if you said it was Garrett Cole or some crappy left-hander, yeah, I'll take the left-hander, but I just like the way the lineup has looked. Now, Cedric Mullins is out, so is this the first time we're going to see the lineup with? No, because Logan Webb's right-handed, so Adam Frazier will be batting leadoff. I didn't check to see the series of who's definitely going to be pitching for them, but I'm assuming Sean Manaea would be up next or on Sunday. So interested to see what they do with the lineup when we see the first left-hander.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that scares me. Like you said, it's bad to start a West Coast trip this time while you're struggling. That's not it's never really a good time, but this is even the worst time. And to do it without Cedric Mullins. I want to know what this team does for the next 2 or 3 weeks without one of the more consistent leadoff hitters in baseball.
No, it's tough, but I mean, I think Hayes can fill that void. I mean, he steps into center field. He'll take the leadoff spot, I'm assuming. I mean, you want Cedric back, but I'm not, you know, as long as it's not a really extended period of time missing.
Yeah, Frazier's done a nice job thus far, but it's still to be determined whether or not they're going to use him with the left-hander if he's starting a game or they stack the lineup a little bit differently. But They haven't skipped a beat or missed a beat with Cedric Mullins out from an offensive standpoint, right? They've been scoring runs since he left, But that was a concern before he left. So I think it's something too to kind of look at. Does the offense struggle in San Francisco a little bit? That is a pitcher's park, tough place to hit. We'll see.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Orioles traveling out to San Fran. The team is playing 500 baseball in the National League West. There are lots of things to consider right now. We talked a little bit earlier about Michael Gibbons in that bullpen. I'm concerned about that bullpen right now because they just can't get out. It's not the back end of the bullpen. It's getting to the back of the bullpen, Jeremy, that worries me.
Yeah, and then the other thing that you don't want to run into is we've talked about the guys that you trust, and it can't become a situation where it's like, hey, we're winning this game or we're in this game, so we go to the guys we trust. Like, you need the other guys to be guys that you trust as well if you're going to be a competitive team. You just can't have – it's not like you're holding on to a Rule 5 guy who sucks out there. They just have a tough decision to make of who they're going to let go and if it's time to let somebody go. Because to me, the Michael Gibbons thing is a lot more difficult than people want to make it out to be. Because you know there's talent there. He's coming off of an injury, but he's just looked awful.
Terrible. Terrible. And he's somebody you want, I think most people would be rooting for him.
Yeah, if this were 3 years ago, you'd have no problem waiting it out. But you may not be able to.
No.
With the way he's been pitching.
It's a totally different decision process now. It was like when Chris Davis was struggling that far back. It didn't matter. We weren't going anywhere, so you could give him the longest leash on earth. Just let him go. Let's see if he could correct himself. You'd never do that now.
Yeah. Michael Gibbons, we talked about this when he and Tate was rumored that they were headed back from the injury. And I said then, I love Michael Gibbons. One of my favorite guys, one of my favorite former Orioles. But I had more faith in Tate helping us out than Gibbons because of what his numbers, inside the numbers, looked like last year. I think it was the Mets last year.
Mm-hmm.
When you look inside the numbers, he looked like a pitcher, Ed, that just didn't have it anymore.
Yeah, he did. And that's what I'm afraid of now. I just don't think he has it. And it's just, and you talk about it, you're talking about it with Scherzer. Why can't it be Gibbons? You hit a certain age, all of a sudden, he's 33 now, right? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's just falling off.
Keep in mind, the guy was drafted as a shortstop. I think he's done a great job getting so much out of his career, converting to pitcher, Jeremy. But, there's something missing.
Yeah.
Something missing.
Well, if you can't locate your fastball, there's two things. If you can't locate your fastball as a pitcher, or you can't catch up to a fastball as a hitter, things are going to get – your career is going to go short real quick. You're going to be done. I was talking about last year, the first baseman for the Tampa Bay Rays couldn't catch up to a fastball. And I was like, he's not going to be in the league much longer. And he bounced around a little bit and finally made his way out. And now you're looking at Michael Gibbons. If you can't locate that, then you can't just sit here and rely on secondary pitches – to try to get through the bullpen. No. And now if you got to finish an inning or face three batters, it's like you put them out there and it's like you run the risk of three guys getting on base, just not even having to work to get on base because he can't throw a strike. So look, we're not at that point where it's been that bad, but it's not good. This is a team that has expectations now. So I don't know how long you can go with it.
410-583-1057. The answer is not very long. Brandon Kristoff from KOA joins us to talk some Denver Nuggets basketball. But on the other side, 2 years in a row, the nation's top player in college basketball returns to college. Was this all about the NIL? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You might be right, Joe. Might be all about the Benjamins. Why go to the NBA when you could be the king in college and still make money?
Yeah, and he's going to get drafted. And he's.
And by the way, he is
Zach Edey. Zach Edey's going back to Purdue, and Zach Edey is a gigantic human being that will play at the next level, but I don't know that he'll ever be as dominant in the NBA as he. It's kind of out of date, that type of player. But somebody will draft him, and will draft him high, and he'll play a long time in the NBA because he's that big.
Sadly for the Terps, he's not going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Because they have a problem with guys like him.
He wasn't.
I never had a problem with him anyway.
Didn't somebody else from Purdue say they were coming back too? another player for them. So I think they got two guys that came out of the NBA draft now.
NBA rookie is going to make about $1 million.
If you're drafted in the lottery, you can make a little bit more than that.
Yeah, but he, do we agree that he's not?
I don't think so, because everybody's
drafted. He's making probably
him
more in college than he would make next year in the NBA.
Probably. So it as much as you're looking at it going, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing it, he gets to do this for another year.
Yeah, and still make a lot of money.
Yep. And I'm sure they're disappointed with how their season ended. So, like in years past, we used to judge guys for this all the time. It's like, oh, I can't believe he's going. He should stay. He should, you know, he should do this or that. Like nowadays, there's really no hurt unless he gets hurt. But I'm sure he has an insurance policy for that too.
Zach Edey, okay, if you're not a lottery pick in the NBA, you're going to make about $940,000 your first year. Zach Edey last year at Purdue, made $827,000.
Did he really?
Yeah. His NIL was $827.
How funny is it that Angel Reese made more than him?
How much do you think he'll make next year if he made that?
I mean, he'll make over $1 million next year. I'd assume there's going to be plenty more in there. And then now with going through it a year, you know what to look for, you know? And also, maybe there were some things he turned down last year that he'll take this year. Just have to wait and see.
Bronny James is making $6.8 million, but
it's different.
That's different because his dad is setting that stuff up for him.
Yeah. Yeah, like, wouldn't you pay more with the chance that he might take a picture of, if Bronny takes a picture of him wearing your gear or eating your food or at your place and Pops may be there?
Uh-huh.
What if Pops retweets it? Good God.
How much? This article, this list is pretty accurate right here, and pretty recent. How much did they say Angel Reese was making in NIL?
This is like 1 point something million.
Okay, yeah. She's number 10. She makes 1.4 million. She's ranked 10.
Is it a lot of women in the top 10?
Libby Dunn.
Yeah.
Is her last name
Dunn? That's the LSU Dunn. That's Dunn. The LSU gymnast.
I knew she was a gymnast. She's making 3.4 million.
She's a gorgeous girl that everybody.
Oh, she's unbelievably gorgeous. She makes you watch gymnastics. No, just two in the top 10.
Okay.
You got Hansel Emanuel. NCAA, she makes 1.4. She's right below Angel Reese. I'm trying to look how many women are in the top 20. I think only three women in the top 20. Spencer Rattler for South Carolina Gamecocks, 1.1 million.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
What's he endorsing? Zaxby's? Or like, I mean, what did he get?
Probably
something big down there.
Probably so. I don't dive too far into it. But see, so.
But that's surprising when you hear his name and that number.
Yeah, live in Columbia, South Carolina.
Is he doing Raising Cane's? Yeah.
That's what is he doing?
Raising Cane's.
Oh, that's the chicken place, right? Okay, so Livy Dunn is number two overall NIL. She's behind Bronny James. Libby Dunn is more legit with her 3.4 than Bronny James is with his 6.8.
Yeah.
Because she, who is she? Who was she before? Who's her parents?
Right. Yeah. I know.
Where does she come from? So that's organically a $3.4 million in NIL. I'm not upset with Bronny James for making this 8.6.
But he was going to third base.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. Arch Manning is making 2.8. His NIL, he lost 72,000.
He's in Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, after we sit here and talk about Caleb Williams and Drake May, his name will be coming up in the next year or two where you're like, okay, if he pans out to what his ceiling is, because you know the pressure is going to be on there with the last name.
Caleb Williams?
No, Arch Manning.
Caleb Williams is making, by the way, 2.6 million.
He's legit.
Sick. He's the first round.
I think that's a can't miss pick.
He's the first pick in the draft. Ain't no doubt about it. The kid is unbelievable. Oh, I love him. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What gets me is this. Nick Saban is going to Washington because they want to do something about NIL. They want to do something to control NILs a little bit more than they're doing it right now.
I thought you meant he was going to UW to play the Cougars.
He's headed Nick Saban among SEC leaders heading to Washington, D.C. to lobby for federal NIL regulations. if this ain't the pot calling the kettle black.
Mm. Isn't it interesting?
I am so upset right now with the SEC leading the charge for
think
this.
Think about it. Because it's like when you legalize booze after prohibition.
Right.
That's exactly what just happened. They've been doing this for years.
That's what I said the other
succeeding.
Day. Yes.
Now anybody can do it, and now they're mad.
What did I say 2 days ago, Jeremy?
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Now everybody's catching up with you, and they're doing it legally.
Right.
Not only that, you're saying that the kids should not make millions of dollars while they're in college. Mm-hmm. Who the hell says you should make millions of dollars while coaching kids?
Mm-hmm.
When did your job become certified to be a millionaire? Coaching college football.
You're like the most powerful guy in the state most times.
Maybe the rest of us should go to Washington to lobby your salaries.
Yeah. Put a cap on it.
Some of you are making money from the state. You're the highest state employee.
Well, they are. They're the highest paid state employees.
All the state colleges.
That's taxpayer money.
So let us go to Washington lobby what you're making. Dude, don't be careful what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually these kids are going to bite back. That's what's going to happen. So you're trying to regulate what we're making? Well, let's regulate what you're making. Penn State pays James Franklin. The state of Pennsylvania. You paid millions of dollars to coach football. Shut up. And let these kids and if you keep lobbying, Ed, the NCAA is going to have to ask the original question that they never answered. And the NIL came because we asked the NCAA this: what do you do? Where's the money? Where is the money? So what the NCAA did, they threw the smoke screen. We don't want you to see on this side, so we're going to throw you the smoke screen called NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Let you go out and hustle yourself and make your own money. That's what we're going to let you do. We're not going to answer that question.
Well,
so if your coaches keep pushing, then we're going to push for the answer.
This does feel like politics now, doesn't it? Like whether you want to say guns, big pharma, any environmental agency, whoever's donating money to you, like these guys are... Oh, you can't do that. It feels like this is politics now with these guys. Like, oh, they can't make that much money. Let's see what we can do to kind of switch this up because it's really affecting me. Man, get the hell out of here with this nonsense. Like, if you disagree with the NILs and where that money's going somewhere, they're making money off of jersey sales. They're allowing kids now to promote businesses.
See,
it's no difference than anything else.
See, that's the thing, Jeremy. That's where you're wrong. You're right about them making money, but the kids aren't getting money off those jersey sales. They're going out and getting their own money.
I know.
That money's not coming from... So now, if you want me to stop with the NIL or to regulate it, now I want money off of that jersey. Now I want money off the jersey.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys are getting paid because of those things.
And I'm not getting any money off of what you're selling. I'm making money off... I'm hustling for my own name, image, and likeness. I'm not making money off of what you're getting off my name, image, and likeness. I'm just... Dude... They better chill. they better chill because you guys are doing a whole lot of illegal crap or a whole lot of unfair crap, and you're making a lot of money doing it. You want to regulate me? We regulate you. Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, Brandon Kristoff from KOA in Colorado to talk Nuggets NBA Finals on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.